Thank you for joining us today at Hickory Valley Baptist Church. We appreciate you listening, whether on the radio, website, or iTunes. Listen now as Dr. David Kemp teaches us from the Word of God.
We're going to look at two instances where God used one of his servants to just speak, and God did a miracle. The title of today's message is Spectacular Displays of the Lord's Power. Turn to Acts chapter 9. In the first 31 verses of Acts chapter 9, the Bible describes the conversion of Saul and his immediate ministry. But beginning in verse 32, the Bible records a couple of spectacular ways in which the Lord displayed his power through the Apostle Peter. Follow along as I begin reading in Acts chapter 9 and verse 32. The Word of God states, "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed.' Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good deeds and good works and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner." Spectacular displays of the Lord's power. Here's the first point I want to emphasize from this portion of the Word of God. First, the Lord is all-powerful. He's able to heal the sick and raise the dead. We saw classic examples of that in our text this morning. The Lord is all-powerful. Look again at verse 32, where the Word of God states, "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt at Lydda." Here's a map showing Jerusalem, where much of the early part of the book of Acts took place. Peter would travel throughout the land of Israel, eventually coming to Lydda, which is about 25 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And look at verse 33. "There, at Lydda, he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed." But the Lord is all-powerful. His power is greater than any paralysis. Verse 34, "And Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed.'" Notice, Peter did not lay hands on Aeneas. He didn't smack him on the forehead. You know what I'm talking about? He simply spoke the words, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make up your bed." That term bed probably refers to the mat on which the paralyzed Aeneas had been resting. I'm reminded of when Jesus healed the paralyzed man in Luke chapter 5. Jesus said to the man, "Arise, take up your bed and go to your house." And the man did so immediately. I'm also reminded of Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John encountered a crippled man who was begging at the gate of the temple in Jerusalem. Peter declared, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And immediately that man leaped up and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. The Lord has power to heal the sick. Peter made it very clear whose power it was that heals when he said to Aeneas, "Jesus the Christ heals you." And other people whom God used in spectacular ways throughout the Bible were quick to give the glory to the Lord, and so should we. I believe the Lord still heals people today. Sometimes he heals people miraculously, and we should definitely give him the glory for that. Other times, he uses our body's recuperative power, the way that God himself created our body with the ability to heal. This past Monday, I came down with a bad cold, felt lousy, head all stuffed up and sore throat and a cough. I feel much better today. Thank you, Lord, for healing in our bodies. You cut yourself recently, the blood flows, then it stops, a scab forms, the skin regrows. When the scab comes off, sometimes there's not even a scar there. God has created our bodies with marvelous ability to heal, and we need to give him the glory for that. Other times, the Lord uses medicine, the ingredients of which he created, and he uses doctors. I remind you, the human writer of the book of Acts was Luke. What was his profession? A medical doctor. And when the Lord uses doctors and medicine to heal us, we should give him the glory for that. This past Sunday night after the Tallies concert, and what a blessing that concert was. After the concert, I was talking back here to Matt Neal's dad, and he told me about a fascinating incident where God worked in his life. I've asked Matt to come and share a little bit of that with you today.
Started feeling worse, became short of breath, and just felt like he maybe needed to lay down and relax, so he laid down for a little while, got up, felt better, left and went to run some errands. And as he went to run those errands, he started getting short of breath again. So over the next couple of days, just started feeling worse and worse and worse the next 3 days. After that 3 days, my mom happened to notice on his right leg two what appeared to be just small red dots on the inside of his right leg, right at his knee, and pointed that out to him. Again, he was starting to get more and more short of breath each and every day, feeling worse and worse. And so as he evaluated that and mom and dad talked about that, they felt like they should call the doctor. So they did. The doctor immediately referred him to the emergency room, had the emergency room crew waiting on my dad when he got there. He showed up and literally they took him straight back and started asking him all kinds of questions and so forth. They asked him to show them his leg. When he did so, his leg had literally gone from two little red dots to a massive, massive infection. And not to be gross, but part of his leg was literally falling off. Obviously, it became very serious very quickly. They ran test upon test upon my dad for the next week. He was poked and prodded with every type of needle and antibiotics that you can imagine. As he went through that next week, there was obviously a lot of prayer, a lot of concern on our part. They came to the point to where they told my dad he literally, if he hadn't shown up within about a half hour, he would have been dead and or had his leg amputated, which often happens with massive infections like that. So God began to move in that situation so much so that each doctor and each nurse that came to the aid of my father in the hospital would literally say, you know, it's a miracle that you're alive. There's no reason you should be alive at all. So as he went through this next week in the hospital, 8 days, somewhere in there, each and every time he heard that, he would just praise the Lord for it, yet felt very lousy. He had total kidney failure. His fever was over 105 for about 2 or 3 days. Again, very, very ill, very critical. And turned a corner about day five or six. And they began processing through, you know, obviously the antibiotics working. When can we send him home? So day eight, they did decide to send him home with antibiotics. And another small part of this miracle is that when they sent him home, they intended to give him an antibiotic, which each pill cost $3,500. Obviously, my parents aren't wealthy people. So as he and mom evaluated that, they immediately approached the care team there and let them know, look, we can't afford $3,500 a pill for, you know, for the next, he was supposed to be on it for a month, a pill a day. So you can add up the cost. They said, there happens to be somebody in the hall here that might be able to help you. A Medicaid representative came in and just so happened that she worked very closely with Pfizer, the company that made the medicine. She made a phone call, and Pfizer agreed that if my dad would release all of his medical records about this situation to them so that they could research it, that they would give him the medicine. So not only is my dad a living, walking miracle, there were many miracles within the miracle itself.
Thank you, Matt. And thank you, Lord, for the way that he takes care of us in a variety of ways. He takes such good care of us. And the Lord's healing power is so great that ultimately every person who is saved will be completely healed, forever healed, in the presence of the Lord. Well, from Lydda, where the paralyzed man Aeneas lived, Peter would travel about 12 miles northwest to Joppa. It's known as Jaffa, J-A-F-F-A today, where the Lord demonstrated his power to raise the dead. Look at verse 36 of our text. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Tabitha is an Aramaic term. Dorcas is the Greek translation. They mean the same thing. The Bible commends this woman for her good works and her charitable deeds. In fact, verse 39 mentions specifically that she would make clothing for those who were needy. May it be said of each of us that we are full of good works and charitable deeds, that we respond and we help those who are needy around us. Verse 37. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Washing the body was part of the preparation for burial. But some other disciples of Jesus weren't quite ready to bury her yet. They had hope for something else, because the Lord is all-powerful, able to heal the sick, yes, but also able to raise the dead. So look at verse 38. And since Lydda, where Peter was near Joppa, where Tabitha had lived, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there in Lydda, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Maybe they had heard reports of some of the previous things that God had done through Peter. And since Peter was just 12 miles away in Lydda, they sent for him. You need to understand that up to this point, no one that we know of had ever been raised from the dead in the book of Acts. But these disciples must have believed that the Lord could use Peter to bring Tabitha back to life, and so they sent for Peter. Verse 39, then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. What a testimony to this woman, these widows mourning for her, showing Peter the clothing that she had made to help those who were needy. You know, God uses great preachers like Peter or the Apostle Paul, but God also uses people who just show simple acts of kindness to others. You may not be able to preach like Peter or Paul, but you can show kindness to those you encounter who are needy. You can preach a strong sermon about the love of God by reaching out to help those who are needy. Just use the abilities God has given you, serve him faithfully, and minister to other people as you have the opportunity. Verse 40, but Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Imagine that. Peter spoke to a dead body. That's faith. He first spoke to the Lord in prayer, and then he spoke to this dead body. Peter had been present on all three of the occasions when the Lord Jesus Christ had brought a dead person back to life. He knew the power of the Lord firsthand. He saw when Jesus raised from the dead that 12-year-old daughter of Jairus in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus brought that widow's dead son in the city of Nain back to life in Luke chapter 7, when Jesus brought Lazarus back from the grave in John chapter 11. In fact, what Peter said to Tabitha was very similar to what Jesus had said in Mark 5:41 to that dead daughter of Jairus. Jesus said to her, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately that little girl did. And so did Tabitha here in Acts chapter 9. Notice again that Peter did not lay hands on her. He didn't touch her at all until the Lord had raised her from the dead. He simply kneeled down and prayed. And this morning, if you are facing a life and death situation, that's what you need to do. Spend some time on your knees in prayer. Talk to the Lord who's all-powerful. There was no supernatural power in Peter's words. It's the Lord who worked the miracle. She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. Verse 41. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It's not the only time in the book of Acts when God would raise someone from the dead. During the ministry of Paul, later on, the Lord would bring back to life a dead man named Eutychus. Even back in the Old Testament, God used prophets Elijah and Elisha to both bring dead people back to life. However, all these people who were raised from the dead in Bible times all died a second time. Did you ever think about that? They died, God brought them back to life, but then they died a second time and they stayed dead. In contrast to that, the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what we celebrate in a special way 1 week from today, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he rose from the dead, and he's still alive. And his power is so great that one day he will bring all dead people back to life. Are you aware of that? That everyone who dies will eventually be brought back to life. Don't take my word for it. Jesus himself declared in John chapter 5, "The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear my voice and come forth." Jesus is so powerful that he will one day raise from the dead every person who's ever died. That's power. Revelation chapter 20 also describes that future resurrection. And the Bible is very clear. Every person will exist forever. Death does not end at all. You don't get annihilated. You don't stop existing. The spirit lives on, and one day the body will be resurrected, and all people will exist forever, either in the presence of the Lord or in a place of torment the Bible calls a lake of fire that burns forever and ever. Jesus continued in John chapter 5 by stating that some people will be raised to life and others will be raised to condemnation. Those who are saved through personal faith in Jesus will be raised and experience everlasting life in the presence of the Lord. But those who are not saved will experience everlasting condemnation. Please, if you've never put your personal faith in Jesus, do so today, because what you do with Jesus in this life will determine where you spend eternity. Here's the second thing I want to emphasize from our portion of the Word of God. Second, the Lord gets people's attention through the things he does and leads them to faith in him. That was a result of both the miraculous healing of Aeneas and the raising of Tabitha from the dead. After Aeneas was healed of his paralysis, look at verse 35 again. The Word of God states, "So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." Lydda was a city where Aeneas lived. Sharon was a plain extending about 50 miles along the Mediterranean Sea. Lydda was on the southeast edge of that plain. And everyone who saw Aeneas saw more than just a former paralyzed man walking around. They saw proof that Jesus is alive from the dead. They saw proof that Jesus is all-powerful. Notice that it says there in verse 35 that they turned to the Lord. Doesn't say they turned to Peter. They turned to the Lord. I emphasize that because there are some people today, seems like they want more attention given to them than to the Lord. But it's the Lord who does the spectacular things that get people's attention and brings them to faith in him. That's also what happened when Tabitha was raised from the dead. Look at verse 42. "And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord." This spectacular miracle, bringing a dead woman back to life, got people's attention and brought many people to faith in Jesus. It happened repeatedly in the Gospels, again in the book of Acts. The spectacular things done by the Lord get people's attention and they lead them to faith in him. For example, Acts chapter 2, the Lord enabled people to speak in existing languages they had never studied. That got people's attention there in Jerusalem, and about 3,000 people were saved that day. Later in Acts chapter 2, God enabled the apostles to do many miraculous signs and wonders in Jerusalem, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were saved. In Acts chapter 3, the Lord enabled Peter and John to heal that crippled beggar. That got people's attention, and many of those who heard the word believed, and the Bible says the number of the men who were saved came to about 5,000. Acts chapter 5, God again enabled the apostles to do many miraculous signs and wonders, and multitudes of men and women were added to the Lord. Acts chapter 8, the Lord enabled Philip to drive out demons and to miraculously heal many people in Samaria. That got their attention, and many put their faith in Jesus. God does spectacular things to get people's attention, but it doesn't end there. He does those things to ultimately lead them to faith in Jesus, which brings about the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of eternal salvation. You say, but the Lord hasn't chosen to demonstrate his miraculous power through me the way he did through Peter and Philip and these others. That's okay. Actually, the only human beings in the New Testament through whom the Lord displayed his healing power are Jesus' apostles and Stephen and Philip and Ananias and Paul and Barnabas. That's it. It's a very select group. But the Lord still displays his power in our lives in great ways, lots of ways, in saving us. We're saved by the power of God. In keeping us saved, we're kept saved by the power of God. In providing for us on a daily basis, in protecting us, in enabling us to resist sinful temptations, God still displays his power in lots of ways in our lives. And you and I just need to tell people what the Lord has done for us. And as you do that, God can use you to bring others to faith in him. In Mark chapter 5, after Jesus drove that legion of demons out of one particular man, that man begged Jesus, "Let me travel with you." But Jesus had something else in mind. Jesus told him in Mark 5:19, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And that's exactly what we must do. Tell our friends and our neighbors and our family members and our coworkers and the students at our school what great things the Lord has done for us. Not everyone in Lydda was an eyewitness when Aeneas was healed of his paralysis. But those who knew that he had been paralyzed and saw him after the Lord healed him, they undoubtedly told others, "He's no longer paralyzed, and here's why. The Lord healed him." They witnessed. And not everybody in Joppa was in that house where Tabitha was brought back to life. But those who were and knew about it told others, "She died. We sent for Peter, and here's why she's alive again. The Lord has brought her back to life." And you and I simply need to tell others what the Lord has done for us. That's what witnessing is all about. Here's what the Lord has done for me. The Lord is all-powerful, able to heal the sick and raise the dead. And the Lord gets people's attention through the spectacular things he does, and he leads people to faith in him. Here's the third thing I want to emphasize from our text of the Word of God this morning. Third, the Lord uses specific people in specific places, at specific times, to do specific things to accomplish his purpose. I want to be very specific about this point. The Lord uses specific people in specific places, at specific times, to do specific things to accomplish his purpose. Some great examples in our text. Look at verses 32 and 33 again. Verse 32, "Now it came to pass, as Peter, a specific man, went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda," a specific place. "There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed." And the Lord's specific purpose for Peter's ministry there in Lydda included two things. In verse 34, for Aeneas to be healed. And verse 35, for many people in Lydda and the surrounding region to put their faith in the Lord. And then the Lord used Tabitha's death to move Peter from Lydda to Joppa. Verses 36 and 37 record that Tabitha died. But look at verse 38. "And since Lydda," where Peter was near Joppa, where Tabitha had died, "and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter, specific man, arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room," a specific place, "and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them." Verse 40, "But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up." Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the widows, the saints and widows, he presented her alive. So again, God's purpose in bringing Peter to Joppa was twofold. That the Lord would bring Tabitha back to life, but secondly, that many people in Joppa would hear about it and would put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another great example of how God uses specific people in specific places at specific times to do specific things. Look at verse 43. The chapter concludes by stating, "So it was that he, Peter, stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner." Now, in Bible days, it was somewhat common to identify people with their occupation. You could distinguish one person from another that way if they had the same name. For example, Luke is identified as the beloved physician. A man named Demetrius is called Demetrius the silversmith. There's Alexander the coppersmith. And here in verse 43, Simon, a tanner. His occupation is especially significant because a tanner worked with the skins of dead animals, turning those skins into usable leather. And many Jews despised tanners as spiritually unclean because of their contact with dead bodies, dead animals. But it says that Peter stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. And because Peter stayed at that man's house in Joppa for many days, here at the end of chapter 9, the Lord would use Peter in a tremendously significant way in chapter 10. We won't get to it until 2 weeks from this morning, because next week we'll have a special Easter message. But here's a preview. In Acts chapter 10, the Lord sent an angel to tell Cornelius, a Roman military officer who lived in Caesarea, about 30 miles north of Joppa, to send to Joppa for Peter. And Peter, a Jew, would go from Joppa to Caesarea, about 30 miles north, to the house of this man, Cornelius, a Gentile, a non-Jew. Perhaps you're aware that in Bible days, many Jews would not associate with Gentiles, certainly not go to their house. But at a specific time, the Lord brought Peter, a specific person, to a specific place, the house of this Gentile, Cornelius, in Caesarea, to do something specific to accomplish the Lord's purpose. When Peter got there, he learned that Cornelius had called together his relatives and his friends, and there in the house of a Gentile, a Jew, Peter declared to them that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, that he was crucified, that he rose from the dead, that he's the judge of the living and the dead, and that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Whoever, Jew or Gentile, it does not matter, whoever puts their faith in Jesus will be completely forgiven of all sins. And Acts chapter 10 is the first recorded time that the gospel will be proclaimed in the home of a Gentile. Out of curiosity, anybody here of Jewish ancestry? Anybody at all? Okay, that means we are all Gentiles, right? Non-Jews. And all the Gentiles in this auditorium ought to be saying, "Thank you, Lord, for sending the gospel not just to Jews, but also to Gentiles, because we are Gentiles. Thank you, Lord, that Gentiles of all nationalities, as well as Jews, can be saved through personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." Makes me want to keep going and preach chapter 10 this morning. We'll start chapter 10 in 2 weeks. But again, here in chapter 9, Peter's willingness to stay with Simon the tanner prepared the way for the Lord to send Peter, in chapter 10, to be the first one to proclaim the gospel in the home of a Gentile. Here in chapter 9, these two outstanding miracles the Lord did would have strengthened Peter's faith that the Lord was working through him in special ways. In Joppa, he was also ministering in an area that was composed somewhat of Gentiles. The Lord in chapter 9 was preparing Peter for very significant ministry in chapter 10. And the Lord will do that for each of us. He is preparing us right now for ministry that he knows he has in store for us in the future.
We trust that God has blessed you with the spoken word. If you have any questions or comments, or would like to request that we pray for you, please contact us on our website at hickoryvalleybaptist.com or follow us on Facebook at Hickory Valley Baptist Church.